Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Women's Running Podcast, specifically our Office Chair to 5K series. We're absolutely loving this series. We are nearing the end, but it has been a total joy to watch Cara learn to run, and it's been wonderful knowing that loads of you have been running alongside her. If you finished in week 10, then welcome back. Let us know what you're up to now. We're very interested. Do write in wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. We love seeing your pictures, hearing your stories, knowing what you're up to. But for Cara, she is letting us know all about her 8th week of the training plan, and she's about to start week 9. So she's really at the tail end of this plan now. It's all kicking off, and she's got plenty to say about it this week. We kick off with a weird conversation that I promise does eventually come to some sort of resolution about hamstrings. That's one of the things she's a bit worried about at the moment, but we think we may have found what could be causing her hamstring issues. And we also talk a little bit about where to run. She's been struggling a bit with living in a small village and not necessarily having access to one big long canal path or something like that she can just sort of zone out and run along. She's having to do quite a lot of thinking about her surroundings and being worried about traffic and stuff. So we have a bit of a chat about that as well. If those sound like things you're interested in, listen up. We've also got plenty of the usual rubbish in there as well. We're chatting all sorts of shite this week as usual. Check out the show notes, because there is a fantastic deal on the magazine subscription at the moment. If you want a bit of an extra hand with your running and you think now is the time, then hop on board our lovely train to a membership of Women's Running. Not quite sure that analogy worked. It's £3.50 a month at the moment, which is a really, really good deal. I think that saves like 42% or something off the usual price. And it's also a very risk-free deal, because if for some reason you don't like it, you can cancel without any hidden fees or anything, and you can cancel that immediately. So pretty flexible and pretty good deal, I would say. You can find a link to that in the show notes if you would like to subscribe today. And of course, as always, listen out for our other pod. We've got all sorts more coming your way on Thursday in the main podcast. And I think that's probably it. I think I'll leave it there and enjoy the episode.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet.
Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely Pod Squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout. Hamstrings as well. That's a horrible word, isn't it?
Ever thought about that before, but it's like...
Hamstrings, pork knees, bacon chins.
Yeah. I'm imagining the twine that you put around a pork now.
Oh, I'm thinking of like when you, because I have to peel a lot of ham and break it up for, because it's the only thing that Pablo will goddamn eat. So I handle a lot of ham in my day now. And it is true, there are strings, there are those fatty bits that I think that's what it's referring to.
Hamstrings.
Hamstrings.
So, oh, well, don't let Pablo near the back of your knees.
Yeah, he does kind of go for them when I'm doing yoga, so maybe he's a bit confused.
Ew. Oh, we've actually talked in the podcast before, I'm pretty sure, about that ham that was like, had a face on. I'm sure discussed
it. Yes, I think we have, yeah.
Oh, that was rough. Not a good era for us all.
Yeah, I think in terms of ultra-processed food, that's really, you know, right at the top, isn't it?
It's the modern day spam.
It's not nice. Oh, God, don't start me on spam. Right.
How is it? How is everybody? Let's check in general. Car.
I am all right. Yeah. I had, I think I'm good today. I did have a panic. The reason that we're talking about hamstrings, for anybody that's like, what an interesting start to this podcast. The reason that we're talking about hamstrings is because for the first time since this started, my hamstrings are so painful, and I honestly was like, what the hell? And I had to panicked message Esther, like, is this normal? Because I have tight hamstrings. But yeah, basically I did my 18 minute run last Sunday, which was gorgeous. It was such nice weather, and I went out with Pablo and we did a new route, and I was like, oh, this is dreamy. It was hard. I did have to stop twice for like 5 seconds at a time, but I was just like, oh, I can't plod anymore. I don't know why it was hard. I think I was in my luteal phase, guys.
Oh, go on.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I had to stop a couple times, but I still did it. But I think it was a bit hillier than normal potentially, and maybe I was going a little bit faster than what, I'm not sure, but either which way, then I decided on a typical Sunday, why has Sunday become this? Then I decided to do gardening, and then I decided to do a long dog walk up many hills with Pablo. Mate. So I mean, it's probably, when I piece it all together, it's probably all makes
probably
sense
that. Maybe it was the gardening.
Yeah, it was.
Because, I was just thinking, I guess that's a lot of bending over and, like, I don't know,
squatting.
Well, none of my business, but I was going to say movement that you've not been doing a lot of.
True.
And I think that would almost be more likely to give you a new niggle compared to walking and running, which is a movement that you've been doing a lot of at the moment. Esther?
I always feel it after I mean, I do gardening like maybe twice a year when I'm shamed into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is twice a year, it's largely a kind of a weed reduction exercise. And it's all the bending over because I'm like, I can't be arsed. I'm not going to get a kneeler out because that's going to make me feel like about 80 years old. So it means that I just bend over and
I want a
up.
Kneeler. I want a kneeler so bad.
Maybe you should kneel in.
If kneel anybody wonders what to get me for my birthday.
A kneeler.
Because I have gravel and I am done with kneeling on gravel, which is probably what I was doing. I was probably squatting rather than kneeling.
Well, I think Holly's actually writing down a note here. Notes to self, look.
just in case.
Yeah.
Their birthday's coming up.
Just in case we're trotting past Prior Park Garden Centre. Okay, we now know.
I really want to generally lean into this, like, well, for want of a better word, sorry if it's offensive to say this, old woman core. That's what I would like to lean into more. I saw the other day in a charity shop one of those shopping trolleys. I am actually genuinely really, really desperate for one of those. I think it would change my life.
Yeah,
no more carrying, because especially up the old guy, your hill. So I was hanging out with Hall last week, and what came over me, I don't know. But I decided I found some non-alcoholic tequila. I haven't been drinking this year, and I love margaritas. And so I really, really miss them. And I found some non-alcoholic tequila, and I was like, I might do this. So I got my juice, I got my lime juice, I got my agave, I got my non-alcoholic tequila, I got ice.
The big bag of ice.
And trying to get up that hill with my non-alcoholic margarita ingredients, it was worth it. It was delicious. But yeah, it was a challenge. So yeah, that shopping trolley,
I think it could really be the one. And I also am a real advocate for those plastic hoods that you put over your head, because I don't have a nice coat that has a hood. So sometimes if I'm wearing my smart coat, I'd like to, but I have actually had a little browse of those, and unfortunately they are either a little bit sad looking, or they're really expensive. You can get some sort of very high fashion ones. They're really expensive.
Seriously? I mean, honestly, no, you're going to look like you're walking around with a shower hat on. I mean,
Please get an umbrella. I think you're into the fashion side of, you know, a 90-year-old.
Mm.
I am into the like practical side. Practical. Like, I want to go away on holiday on my own and knit and read and get my kneeler out and maybe pick some weeds out in the back garden. That's not a 90-year-old. Well, big up 90-year-olds that are still doing that.
But I'm
into the practical.
Oh God, I am absolutely. Like, I have given holidays like a 10 out of 10 scoring because of the walking paths being made for old ladies. I don't want to be scrambling over rocks, and I hate going downhill. So what I really like is like New Forest, where it's like, here is a massive wide bridle path. You can see where you're going. Everything is marked.
Yeah.
And there's no ups, there's no downs. There's nothing that you could even vaguely slip on. Even if there is, they put a bit of chicken wire down. It's amazing. Love it.
I really want some lovely roots. I am excited because in my move house, as long as I don't have radon levels up the wazoo, which we do, I am really excited about the fact that it is in this really nice, what do you call it? It's not a national park, that's over the top. It's a nature reserve.
That's really lovely, that.
And I'm really excited about the fact that I might be able to go for some runs around there. However, it is really hilly, so I'm a bit nervous about that. But
that's all right. You just walk
you'll
up.
You'll find
yeah,
some.
It'll be all right.
Ones.
It's a bit treacherous at the moment as well because there's ash die back going on. So.
I don't even understand what that means.
Oh, I thought that was a thing that grown-ups knew about and I've only just learnt about.
But I don't know either.
I think it's like when there's some sort of nasty, infectious disease going on with all the ash trees.
And then they all start falling over.
It sounds like a little Welsh boy though, doesn't it? Ash die back.
Ash die back.
Ash die back.
I mean, it's quite practical, really. It's ash. They die and we cut them back.
And we cut them back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They shortened a sentence into a word.
Yeah. Yeah. What, yeah. They've squidged three nouns together and they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. We got this thing going on over there and it looks a little bit like ash die back. That seems like where it's come from, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. It is quite hilly, but I found. Well, I don't know, because I live in Village, and so there's only so many routes we can do. I found kind of a crisscrossy one around the village that is 20 minutes, basically, which is great. So right now is a sweet spot that I can do some connecting up that I know about. And then for kind of longer runs, I have to go out. I have to run to my next village. Where there's a National Trust out there, but I've been doing that. I kind of have to walk across the fields and then get on the path to the next village, which is nice, but oh my God, my trainers got so muddy. I did have to actually find out how to wash my trainers for the first time. But yeah, how do you guys do with like running on kind of country roads? Because I'm trying to figure out some country roads, I think they're fine. I've maybe seen one car.
Yeah,
and it's fine.
Yeah, good point.
And some of them are quite treacherous, and I drive along them at, I shouldn't be driving along them at like 40-50 miles an hour, but I do. Connecting back into the village if I didn't want to walk across fields. What do I do here?
It's really hard, isn't it? It's something that I tend to only it's a problem that I only kind of get when I go on holiday. It's a kind of a Devon Cornwall conundrum that I get mostly. But yeah, it is tricky because I think like a few years ago when I was feeling a bit less confident about running and about kind of running on different sort of terrain, I would tend to stick to tarmac, which meant particularly in Cornwall, actually, you get really high hedges along those sort of B roads. And it's not actually that much fun. Because you can't, your view is impeded by the high hedges, and you're then worried about
nervous about traffic.
Traffic
waiting for them.
Esther, you carry on.
I was going to say. So now, I try as much as possible to avoid those, particularly those B roads where there's absolutely nowhere to leap into, like no kind of nothing at all. That I try and avoid by actively seeking out footpaths and running on the footpaths rather than on the road. I don't know if that's something that you might be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I know from leaving the door, it would have to be cross fields and then get on. They're not even B roads. They're kind of like, I don't know.
Lanes.
What you call them. Lanes, because otherwise you've got those connecting B roads, but otherwise it's driving somewhere else like Bradford to get on the canal path or whatever. I don't think that there's anywhere... I don't think there's anywhere that I can go without crossing some quite treacherous fields that I could just go and run on the door.
You wouldn't run on the field?
Not at the moment because, oh my God, we live in this area that just like retains so much water. So when I say field, I'm talking mud to ankle.
It's quite floody, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think that's runnable, but in summer I think definitely I'd be up for running fields.
So that is a thing to think about as well, isn't it? Because, well, I was going to also say quickly for anyone listening who has a similar problem that can't avoid, I know this is probably very, very obvious, but running on the opposite side of the road to where the car that's nearest you is coming, sort of thing.
The problem is it's one lane.
Oh.
So it's coming. It's coming just in one way. And tall hedges.
And you can't always control the direction that you need to run it in. So I was going to say, I like to run against the traffic, if that makes sense. So that
you run on the right.
Like, so that you see it. But yeah, that is tricky. And then if the alternative is running on fields, that is also tough. Because I really don't like running on grass. It makes me, I find it so much more difficult to pick my feet up.
Well, fields especially that like, you know, it's not flat. We're not talking a pitch. We're talking, you know, there's horse shit and not even horse shit, probably cow shit. There's cows.
Yeah.
I did see many ponies on my walk.
Oh,
that was very wholesome, which Pablo was very confused about. He was like, kind of looks like me, but it's bigger.
Oh, it does. He does look like a tiny little horse boy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does look like a horse boy. But yeah, so that's nice, but it's very interesting having to stop my running to let the ponies pass.
That's nice. Oh, that's nice.
That's so much nicer than having to wait at a traffic light, isn't it?
Isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah.
Country equivalent.
But I would say there is no shame in driving to the start of a race. I know environmentally that is bad, but I say race, a run. Environmentally bad, but it's something I've done even with just a few minutes. But especially when weather's been super, super bad, if it's super frosty and I know that I'm going to just fall on my ass when I come out my front door, I will hop in the car and drive down to kind of flat ground. And I drive to the start of a canal path. And so I know that it's crunchy and it'll be safe and it's fine. And there is no shame in doing that. And I think actually to ensure that you've got a flat run, particularly when you start getting up to the 30 minuters, like week after next, if we did have bad weather, then driving to Bradford and getting on the canal path there, I think that's actually probably quite a good idea.
I have to drive to Bradford quite a lot, so I just kind of have to organize it. This is Bradford and Avon, guys, because I once said Bradford and there is a Bradford up near Leeds.
This is Bradford and Avon. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And I remember Doug borrowing the company van to drive to Bradford and they were like, "What? No, I'm really sorry, like you can't do that." And he was like, "What?" It's like similar confusion.
I was saying it to some friends and I kept talking about things and like recommending places and they were like really looking at me strangely for like a full day. And I was like, yeah, and this place in Bradford is so gorgeous. And they were like, oh, okay. And then it wasn't until the next day they were like, are you talking about somewhere else? Because Bradford is I won't say it if anyone lives in Bradford.
No, it's okay. I believe, I think that my ancestors come from Bradford.
Oh, so you can slag it off.
I'm allowed to slag it off. I think, I should double check this with my mum, but I think my granddad and on my mum's side and his family came from Bradford, so... From one Bradford to another, here I am.
Here you are. You just travelled around. But anyway, I will think about potentially looking at some routes and kind of driving to them. Because I think especially where I'm thinking of in the next village, there is quite a few lanes around there. So even if I were like to drive to there, then I could probably get on some tarmac that, made sense. So always fun trying to discover new routes.
But you did 18 minutes. So was that the first time you'd done that in one go then?
Yes,
was that Sunday?
Absolutely. So no stop it were except for when I decided to stop. But no, I was not supposed to just stop. But it was a bit hillier than normal. And I did finish, I tried to avoid it, but I did finish on and I'm not going to say sprint, but a hill jog.
Oh.
Which did actually not feel that awful, which I was quite happy about.
Mate, that's great. I actually think there's something to be said about, because I've had the same accidentally a few times recently, that like my run that I've been doing sort of midweek lunch times I don't want it to go too far from home basically, because I want to be able to get back to work and stuff. But I live on a huge hill. So I keep slightly badly mistiming my mileage so that I'm like, fuck, I've still got 0.2 to go or whatever. And I've just been forcing myself to go, well, fuck it, let's just do it, and going up the hill as fast as I can. It's horrible. But actually, I think there is something to be said about tricking yourself into doing your hill work at the end, because then you're like, you're not trying to conserve anything in the tank. You're just like, fine, well,
let's get it done.
I'd rather that this took me 2 minutes than it took me 4. So like, let's just bloody go for it as quickly as I possibly can and then done. And then I can stop forever.
Yeah. I think that's the way to trick my brain personally into getting anywhere near a hill. But yeah. So that was good. And then I did my 20 minute as the next one, and that went better. I don't know why, but because my hamstrings were killing me, and as you guys know from either voice noting or messaging you, I was like, is this okay? Because it had been 3 or 4 days since I had run and they still hadn't kind of loosened up.
Gardening.
Yeah, and they were aching just like sitting there, so I was just a bit like, what is going on? I could not bend down for the life of me. So yeah, gardening, it all makes sense now. But yeah, the next 20 minutes was actually great.
Oh, brilliant.
This is amazing to hear, Carl. I love this.
It's great, isn't it? God, yeah. Only a few weeks ago. I think it's definitely worth doing that thing that I know we talk about like in the magazine stuff, but it's definitely worth reminding yourself of like where you've come. Like yeah. 10 yeah. weeks ago. Well, I remember you messaging me over Christmas going, oh, I can't, you know, oh, I'm worried about this and my ankle and da da da. And that was like, what was that? Running for 2 minutes and then walking for a minute or something? I mean,
a minute, a walking a minute, a running a minute.
And you're doing 20 minutes all in one go. I think it's absolutely amazing.
Look at her
That's
go.
Such a huge curve, isn't it? It's incredible.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it is really nice to kind of get out, especially with the not stopping, except for when I stop anyway.
You don't have to say that. It's fine.
Oh, it's also totally fine. Because if you were
stopping.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if you're doing, we've discussed before what constitutes stopping, because I would 100% say that, like, Esther, for example, you ran the New York Marathon all the way without stopping. But of course, there are going to be moments where, like, you can't necessarily drink running or, like, your shoelace comes undone or something like that. I think if a stop is, like you said, 5-10 seconds of catching your breath or doing something, you know, having a gel or opening a thing or something, then fine.
Yeah.
That's not stopping. Yeah. That's not actually enough for your body to be recovering. It's not like you've, like, needed that stop to get your cardio back or whatever. It's just like psychologically you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Might have stopped for a second, but then you've gone, no, I can do this, and carried on.
You don't even know what stopping is. Like, it's kind of, I don't really get it. It's like my legs kind of almost feel like lead all of a sudden. And then my brain is kind of like, as soon as you catch wind of like, oh, you could stop for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Then you do. And then you're like, oh, you're such a piece of shit. You've got to go again.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally in the middle of nowhere. What else are you going to do? You came out for a run. So get it done.
Mate. Yeah. That is so real. I feel like people don't talk about that enough. Like, we talk a lot about the practical like elements of running. We talk about training and blah, blah, blah. But like, the mental side, even for like shorter distances, 100% of like, I spend my entire runs, I've got to do a 6 miler after this, and I know that I will spend the first 5 miles of it going, maybe I could just squeeze it in tomorrow. I could just turn around and just like, or I could just stop at Tesco's and just say, oh, well, that was a quick run in a shop and then do it tomorrow. I will spend the entire time trying to give myself reasons why I should stop and I should give up. It's so hard, but it's quite good mental practice, I think, especially if you have anxiety and stuff. I guess it's a similar thing where you're thought spiraling and you're doing the sort of fortune telling thing of like, it's all going to go horribly wrong. It's all going to go horrible. It's going to be very painful. Why are you doing this to yourself? That like working on correcting that thought pattern and just going, with Pablo,
it's kind of like meditating, because I think that they're borderline intrusive thoughts. Like you know what your intention is. You've made a decision, and then you're getting these kind of intrusive thoughts that you can't let win, almost, with that side. And so I guess it is kind of like meditation. You've got to keep being like, oh, that's an intrusive thought, but focus on
running.
Oh
my god,
that's an intrusive thought,
true.
But focus on the running.
Yeah, so true. And that's basically, I mean, that's the thing that I used to get so cross about it a few years ago, about people going, mindful running. And it's like, there is no point having that word before the word running. Like, runners invented mindfulness because we have to just think about how to breathe and not die. And because you do that, it means you have to push these other thoughts away. Otherwise, you just won't get it done. So it is mindful practice, I think, is running, because you do have to do that. And you just,
But it's just built in.
It's built in. It's a part of it.
And we're brilliant. Think it's the type, like, not to go into kind of meditation stuff, but I did a sound bath on Monday.
I was just about to say, you're perfectly qualified to. You went to a sound bath.
Oh, guys. I went with a sound bath, and it was lovely. But yeah, I spent the first like 15 minutes going, this is weird. Why is this weird? Why am I in a room with colleagues and strange noises happening? And my brain was like, I was trying to, and then I remember someone I was with as well was kind of like, you know, spent the first 20 minutes being panicked about the fact that I wasn't meditating and I only had 10 more minutes to meditate.
And it's classic.
Things like that. And like, I did get there.
Why aren't I more relaxed?
And I did get there, and I did enjoy it for you know, 5 minutes before suddenly I was like, oh, I'm starting to get hungry. Maybe I'll go to the bagel shop. And that is classic. But I was talking, actually, I do go to therapy. I was about to just talk to my therapist. It sounded very American of me. But I do go to therapy, and I was talking to my therapist about it. And I was like, obviously, I know lots of people do struggle with meditation. And I don't like feel bad about myself that I struggle with meditation. I think that that's perfectly fine. And lots of people do.
Oh, God, yeah. It's another thing that you can practice and get better at, sort of thing.
It's a skill set. But I think it's also what... It meditation comes in so many forms. It is just the practice of letting thoughts go and focusing on where you are and like lowering kind of some of the cortisol and some of the things in your body. And so, like, for me, like, doing something and, you know, doing crafts or running or whatever it is, it's the same practice of meditating. You're still like seeing thoughts and going, no thanks, see you later, over and over and over again until you drive yourself insane, and then you're like, what is this relaxing business? But yeah, I think it's, I'm sure it's for the same for lots of runners, but, and that's probably why people get obsessed with running as their kind of form of kind of mental health for a certain
extent. Oh my God, absolutely, Cara. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You, like, meditation, you don't have to be sitting cross-legged on the floor and chanting. Like, I find running is so fundamental to my mental health, because not because I'm able to sort out all of my issues when I go for a run, but because I can ignore them.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant for that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're so focused on what's happening. My dad is a classic one of these that I've said in the past that he's a cyclist. And when he starts becoming an asshole, like, my stepmom's like, get out on your bike right now. And he comes back and he's happy as Larry. But he calls, I can't remember what he calls it. He calls it like the danger zone or whatever, to the point that you push yourself so far that you literally can't think of anything, because like your brain goes into some kind of like hyper fixation on like, this must happen. And
I guess it's meditation for people who, like you were saying, Carl, find it more difficult. Like, it is something that, I am, none of this is anthropologically correct, Tibetan monks or something sit and spend 60 years of their lives learning how to do. Like, it's a really difficult practice. And in our very modern lives, where we have people messaging us on our weird little rectangles all day long, and stuff's going on, and it's all very, very overstimulation all the time, it's basically being able to practice that skill, but without having to do the very, very difficult thing of sit down, no distractions, sit completely still, level 10 meditation. It's like entry level. Here's a way that I can just focus on on what I'm doing right now, and on each breath and on each moment, rather than like overthinking or stressing about the future. But just like we would do crafts, or you might reach for a Sudoku book or something if you're feeling a little bit like overwhelmed by what's going on around you. It's that same thing, isn't it, where you've got a distraction, but it's like a physical distraction, and your brain can use that sort of simulation to sort itself out.
So much, so much easier to have that feeling when you're doing something than when you're not doing something. Like I can't, you know, like when I do yoga on a Wednesday morning, there are, we have 5 minutes set aside for Shavasana at the end. And in that time, even though my yoga instructor is always a bit like, just get rid of the thoughts, get rid of the thoughts, you know, this is all for you. And you've set aside this hour and just appreciate the hour and appreciate your body. And she's brilliant at doing that. But I can't. In that 5 minutes, I'm like, right, okay, I need to get back. I've got those emails to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And that's just within 5 minutes. But when I go for a 45-minute run, I barely, I might have it for the first half mile, but then for the rest of it, it's all gone.
Well, and the other thing is, it's like when I did the sound bath, for instance, something that I get really freaked out about, hence why I would go to therapy, is just being inside my own brain. So when someone is like, sit down and be inside your own brain for the next half an hour, I'm like, oh, fun. I can't wait. And so I'm also quite like a drive orientated person. Like I think that people have different motivations. And like if I achieve something, I as everyone does, I definitely get that kick of like feeling good. And I can kind of force myself to go and do something that like in terms of that drive kickback of what's the hormone? I can't remember all of the science. But that's why running kind of works really well, because there is a bit of a pulling the plaster drive bit and then feeling good about yourself, but also the practice of doing it, you get that little pocket of, to a certain extent, meditation without having to be in your own brain, if that makes any sense. You kind of have to be in your own body.
It's like a little cavity on the outside. It's like it's the utility room just on the outside of your brain, isn't it? Where like nothing happens apart from maybe the dryer's on or whatever. It's just, it's just...
You're just perceiving what's going on around you and seeing stuff, but you're... Or you listen to an audiobook and then you're somehow kind of hallucinating this story in your own brain. But either which way, you're not.
You've got to have a good audiobook though, haven't you, really? Like I've been rediscovering this recently because all my runs had been quite short until this half marathon training period. And I forgot what it's like to, run for an hour or whatever and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm so bored. And you really have to have something that gets you going. I'm actually also, as a very quick aside, I've joined the Smutty community at the moment.
Oh my God, guys, I had the most embarrassing moment this last week where I can't say for what reasons, but I was forced to talk in a meeting to explain about the Smutty books that I read in front of our CEO and managing director.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. But I'm not listening to a Smutty book at the moment. I'm listening to the seven dresses or seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, that's great. I listened to that one.
That's not Smutty.
That's not
and
Smutty.
That's, yeah, that's perfectly fine. But that's not nice.
Is it keeping you entertained?
It is. It is. I'm nearly finished though. Guys, I got absolutely done in by Spotify telling me that I'd run out of audio credits.
Oh yeah, warning to those using Spotify. We did not know that this was a thing. I was honestly this close to cancelling my Audible subscription because audiobooks have started coming on Spotify, and like not just sort of the odd weird one, like really, really good ones. So I also, Car, had just been listening to most of my books on Spotify, and I am very glad to hear you. Well, I'm not glad to hear.
Well,
gutted,
I think
but I'm glad that you've warned me, because I was honestly going to cancel Audible, but I won't now because I will probably get through a lot more audiobooks than I would normally because of training at the moment.
Yeah, it's worth trying on Spotify and seeing. I don't or looking up how long it gives you or whatever, because then my payment did come out the next day and it reset, so I was okay.
Okay,
I do listen to quite a lot of audiobooks. Luckily, it doesn't happen with podcasts, so the answer, guys, is to re-listen to all of the Women's Running podcasts.
thank you.
nice.
If you get bored, why don't you subscribe? Anyway,
Well, you get 15 hours of audiobook streaming.
Okay, that's a lot.
That's like two books, I
or
suppose, in a
book,
month.
Depending
one
on the
book.
Size of the book.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's two of my books.
It depends how often you listen, but...
two like definitely not self-written autobiographies of people who've been guest judges on Drag Race or something. Katie Price's. You wouldn't be able to listen to all 42 of Katie Price's books.
42.
Katie Price has written 42 books, and I saw her in an interview yesterday.
Oh, that's the one you sent to me.
That's the one I sent to you.
Because you say written, but that's loose, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone's like, at one point, she's on like Loose Women about it or something. And I can't remember who's interviewing her, but they're like, oh, so how much of it do you write? And she's like, oh, well, it's like, it's my story, but I haven't got the time to like sit and write it. Like, I'll like outline the story, and then someone else will be like, oh, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day and blah, blah, blah. And the interviewer's like, so the writing. And she was like, yeah.
I was wondering what she was doing.
She's been writing 42 books. Esther and I thought we saw her the other day because we saw a pink horse box on
with
the motorway
her initials on it.
With KP1 or whatever as the registration plate. So we were like, we've just fucking seen Katie Price on the M25. Esther looked it up and
turns out you can just buy one. So
you can just buy a Katie Price horse box.
It could have been her. Yeah.
amazing.
Oh dear. Anyway, so Car, let's check in with what you're doing this week.
Yeah.
Hamstrings are feeling better, by the way, guys. I didn't circle around. I did end up doing actually yoga, which I talk about doing and don't do very often. So I did do yoga, and it did.
Yeah,
did
that really stretched
help,
it out. So. Brilliant.
Yeah,
I feel absolutely regretting in so many ways my yoga yesterday because it was really brutal. But in general, it will do me good moving forward, and it is good. Yoga's great for hamstrings as well, isn't it?
Really good.
Carl, you could do a bit of runner's stretch where isn't that when you sort of say you've just done a lunge and then you sort of peel your hip
pull it back.
I hate that too.
I rarely get my legs straight.
I think you've got a weird trapezium body if you can do that. I've never understood looking at people do it, like how that works, and I've been like, maybe it's because my thighs are too chunky and in the way, or no, I think it's just people with weird little legs.
I think even just a downward dog, just doing a couple of sun salutations does a almightily good trick on sorting out hamstrings. It's such a good move.
Well, I kind of had to figure it out because like the classic things like touching my toes or you know, sitting on the floor and touching my toe, whatever it is, like weren't quite working. I can't really explain. Like, I mean, it was definitely in my hamstrings, but it's kind of further up my leg. It was mostly when I like bent and stuff that it was really, really hurting. Mm. And so I kind of had to mess around with yoga for a while to just try and find the pose that sorted it out. Which, you know, I'm not a science girl. Who knows if it was my hamstring or some other strange muscle in my leg.
That's a great place to start, is messing about until you find the right
something. That's
as long
like,
as you're being gentle with your body. Yeah.
And then just stay there for a while.
Yeah. So
exactly. Anyway, tell me what's coming up. Yeah.
Right. This week, Kat, are you entering week 9?
Yes.
Penultimate week.
You are looking at 2 25-minute runs and a 28er.
2 25-minute runs and a 28. Okay. That's amazing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. It's going up, isn't it?
It is.
It's going up. Yeah, I feel okay because the last, I really feel like basically if I do a run in the morning or I do a run in the afternoon, it's never been good. I know so much in my heart that I'm a lunchtime person. So if I just keep doing these runs at lunchtime, I don't think I've had a bad lunchtime run.
So no, I'm with you at the moment too.
I'm feeling positive to push myself on that. But yeah, we'll find out.
See how it goes.
I've got my next 20 minute now, and hopefully that will go well and I'll feel ready to do 25.
Yeah.
I hope.
I think you're ready.
Okay.
I think if you did 20 last week, didn't you, as your longest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are quite big step ups in this plan, but I think so. Obviously, like if you do find 25 a lot, then don't beat yourself up about it, because that is 5 minutes more. But I think that 5 minutes, if you know you've got that 20 in the bag, 5 minutes is enough of a mind game that you can start to go 3 and a bit minutes to go. Let's fucking do it, and you can sort of slightly start to do that thing. Yeah. It's not too long of a stretch that I think if you think about it like that in little chunks, then you can definitely.
What is really working for me as well is now that I don't have to do the repetitions, is just putting the 20 minutes or 25 or whatever on my watch and trying to forget about it as much as possible, and then feeling proud of myself when I do look and go, okay, there's only 6 minutes to go.
Totally with you.
Yeah, we'll see. 5 minutes does feel like a jump, but I think I think my brain is still back in like week three, but my body is coming. Like, I think my body is fine, and I have to trust it. But yeah, my brain is still like, we were going from like 3 minutes to 4 minutes, guys, and now we're going to 20 to 25. Like, there's a jump there. But
you do do trust your body, because I think the biggest leaps were earlier on than this. I don't think this is a big leap for you. I think one of the big leaps was going from like separating out your runs and not having any break in there at all.
Yeah,
like, I think that was that's a really big step. You went from like doing 2 like 8 minute runs or whatever to suddenly doing 18 minutes, and I thought that was a huge thing. This is no trouble at all. You can do this, no worries.
Okay. It's just 5 minutes extra of Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true. Right at the end. So
yeah,
no spoilers.
Yeah. Well, also I do think that we need to give a bit of a shout out, don't we? I'm sorry that it's taken us 39 to acknowledge this, but it's all a bit odd because of course we're all on our own separate journeys. But if there was anybody who was rigidly following from week one and has been following the training plan like that and completed their 5K last week, then huge shout out. We didn't actually have any photos or emails in. From anybody. I don't know whether that's because people are being shy or because people are more following along with what Carr's doing. But if you have got some and you've been going, oh, should I? And hovering over the send button, we'd love to see your success. Truly, we would. Massive congrats and well done. Keep listening in. We've got a couple more weeks of these because we're going to follow Carr to the end. If you're worried about what's next, I will do a little gentle plug and say we do have a podcast, and we'll always have a podcast even when this one is gone, that goes on every week, and you can find plenty of our downloadable training plans on our website. I'll put them in the show notes maybe this week, so that if there is anybody who's like, what shall I do next, I need a goal, I need something to push towards, have a look through those and see if there's anything else that takes your fancy.
Yeah, and also it's worth looking at the shop section of our website, because you can pick up brilliant magazines that Holly and I did on running either a 5K or a 10K. And even picking up the 5K one, even if you've completed that, is worth doing, because it does have lots of ideas of what you can do next if you want to continue running. We strongly recommend you do continue running. But yeah, you don't have to carry on eating away at the miles. You don't have to. It's not necessarily a logical step that you go 5K, 10K, half marathon, you know, within 2 years you're running marathons or whatever. You don't have to worry about that. There's plenty of other things that you can do, and you can just carry on running and enjoying it. And you know, you don't.
I'm going to stay around a 5K for a while and make that feel good.
Yeah.
What I would really like to try, which is a really nice, I believe, 5K distance thing, is the Zombies, Run Zombies app. Have you heard of this, Carr?
No.
It's like a story-based sort of couched 5K, kind of like, so I don't know whether it's specifically couched 5K, but like shorter runs thing. That you listen to it like an audiobook, and it's like, you're in a world of zombie apocalypse and you've got to like do little tasks. So like you have to like go out and collect stuff for your camp, but then every at intervals it'll be like the zombies are coming and you have to be like, oh my god, and leg it for a bit.
I think is bonkers, because I don't really understand with any kind of form of anxiety why you would want to add anxiety into your running.
I love it.
Do you know what I think? That's bonkers. And B, if you've already got a, like, you're already up here, it's like, why would you make the running harder by going, ah?
We had an iconic story from a listener.
She's quite sadistic with this, that she loves, she hates horror movies and she focuses on her breathing. But then the first thing, like, it comes around Halloween, she's like, what is the scariest movie that we could watch? Or shall we play an all-night video game about being killed? And it's like...
Yeah, we did actually. We did that on New Year's Eve, didn't we? We decided, let's play a spooky video game where we all get murdered one by one.
Whilst we're staying in a cabin in the woods.
Whilst staying in a cabin in the woods, yeah.
Yeah,
I do. It's really strange. I go through spooky stages. During the pandemic, I went through such a phase of zombie films and like TV shows, which might sound counterintuitive to pandemic, but I was like, it was such nice escapism. I was like, you know what? I'm sitting on my sofa complaining about the fact that I can't go to Nando's right now. Look at these guys having to learn crossbow skills.
I was watching like Below Deck and pretending that life was normal and I was in the middle of the ocean. But whatever got us through.
I don't know. Weird. Yeah. I'm very weird with that stuff. Anyway.
But yeah.
I love everyone. We love you all. Car, massive good luck this week. You're going to smash it.
Thank you.
Everybody else, wherever you are in the journey at this point, who knows? Enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. Do check in with us next week. Very, very exciting. We will be talking all about Cara's last week of the plan next week, which is crazy. She has not got long at all before the date that we have decided to put her to the test. It's all... yeah, getting very, very, very exciting over here. I can't wait. Yeah, check back in with us. Can't wait to hear how Cara gets on and, of course, how all of you guys are getting on. Once again, do you send us your stories, your pictures? Let us know what you're up to at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. Follow us on Instagram. Send us bits there. Tag us in everything. We love seeing it. And as I mentioned earlier, now is a great time to subscribe to the magazine for just £3.50 a month. I didn't say the link earlier because I'm not very professional, but it's womensrunning.co.uk/podsquad if you want to get that great deal. Enjoy. See you soon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.